Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Radiant Cash Management Services 3Q FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohil Halai from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to 3Q FY23 earnings call of Radiant Cash Management Services. The company is represented by Colonel David Devasayam, CMD, Mr. Venkatramanan, CFO, and Mr. Muthuraman, Director, Advisor, Strategy and Investor Relations. Would like to take this opportunity to congratulate David, sir, for his new listing and also a good set of earnings. Without further delay, would like to hand over the call to David, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Sohil, for the introduction. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Colonel David Devasayam, the Chairman and Managing Director of the Radiant Cash Management Services Limited. Along with me are my senior management team members. I have with me the CFO, Mr. T. Venkatramanan, and also, the Director for Strategy and Investor Relations, Mr. N. Muthuraman. I'd like to thank all the investors, particularly anchor investors, institutional investors, HNIs, and retail investors who have participated in large numbers to make our IPO a success. I thank the investors who have joined the first analyst call of the company this morning. Let me begin by a factual readout of the three-month performance and nine-month performance of the company. Revenues for the quarter ended December 31, 2022 grew by 19.4% to 93.2 crores. The PAT for the quarter ended December 31, 2022 grew by 53% to 17.67 crores. Revenues for the nine months ended December 31, 2022 grew by 27.6% to 266.1 crores. The PAT for the nine months ended December 31, 2022 has grown by 73.3% to 47.19 crores. It's been a satisfying performance, and we were very happy to upload it on the exchanges on Saturday, the 28th. Being the first analyst call, I would like to briefly explain the business of our company. Radiant is in the business of retail cash management, an important segment of cash logistics industry. We are the market leaders with over 40% market share in retail cash management, and we are present across the country. We work primarily with banks who are our clients. On behalf of banks, we pick up cash from various outlets and deposit the cash in the bank branches. We get paid by the banks a fixed charge per outlet per month. This is the core of our business and accounts for over 65% of our revenues. Our second business vertical is network cash management. This is a premium value-added service we offer to the banks. Here we deposit cash in our own bank account and then electronically transfer this to our client bank. This is required in places where a client bank does not have a branch. Here we charge the banks based on the volume of cash that we deposit in our account. This segment accounts for about 20% of our revenues. We also give cash vans on hire to banks for bulk movement of cash between their vaults and branches. This segment accounts for 6% of our revenues. Other value-added services such as cash processing, vaulting, van behind counter, et cetera, account for the rest. What are the key drivers of our business? We are present in approximately 60,000 outlets today. As per industry estimates, the entire industry is picking up from less than 1.5 lakh outlets. But the potential market is huge, with over 30 lakh outlets eligible to use the service. This could provide us a significant growth opportunity for many years to come. We have been adding 1,000 to 1,200 outlets per month, which is spurring our growth. These points come from both existing end customers as they expand their operations, as well as new end customers to whom our client banks start offering these services. While these outlets are currently serviced by us through banks, we are also making conscious efforts to reach out to more and more outlets directly, where their banks, particularly this we observe in the nationalized banking sector, where our services are still not have not been fully taken up, and they don't offer these value-added services. Direct clients account for about 2 to 3% of our revenues currently, but this is likely to increase in the future. So what is so unique about us? I was from the armed forces, and so are 21% of our workforce, and this includes the top leadership team. We run the operations with military discipline, the great deal of integrity, and more importantly, frugality, and take pride in handling such a large volume of public money without any adverse incidents. This is the reason our cash losses are the lowest in the industry. We work with several marquee banks across private sector, foreign and public sector banks. Our relationship with banks are long-term in nature, and we strive to continuously improve quality of our service. This is the reason we have hardly lost any bank client in our 17 and a half years in operation. We are also very proud of our technological adoption and innovation. We have API integration with the core banking solution of banks and modules specially developed for our key end customers. This makes our business with them very sticky. So therefore, what does the future hold for us? Now that we are a public company with several small shareholders, it's our responsibility to strive hard to grow the business faster and continuously generate healthy profits. The entire Radian team is taking this responsibility very seriously, and you all would see the results of this in the coming quarters. As I mentioned earlier, the opportunity is humongous in retail cash management, as it is a nascent industry in our country. This will provide significant growth, scope for growth for us in the medium term. We're also looking to expand our business from direct clients, and towards this end, I have today hired a senior resource chief business officer with relevant experience to head this initiative. I would now like to request Muthuraman, our Director of Strategy and Investor Relations, to talk about the operational KPIs we have achieved and its impact on our financial results. It's over to you, Muthu.
Thank you, Colonel. Good morning, everyone. Thanks once again for joining our first analyst call post-IPO. I'll present the update on operational KPIs, and we'll try to link the same with our various business verticals that Colonel just explained about. We are present in 13,300 plus PIN codes across 5,500 locations in India. In fact, we are present in every district in the country except Lakshadweep. This has been our strongest USP, as a wide network helps in servicing maximum number of clients, thereby improving our route density and hence our profitability. In the 9 month ended December 31, we handled 1.17 trillion of cash. This reflects a growth of 20% over FY22 on an annualized basis. We operate at 59,750 plus touch points as on December 31, 2022. Again, a growth of 20% over the March number of 49,980. That's close to 10,000 points added in 9 months, or about 1,100 points per month. We have been adding such numbers every month for the last several quarters, and this is a growth driver for our first business vertical that Colonel spoke about, that is cash pickup and delivery, accounts for 68% of our revenues, and the number of touch points is a direct growth driver for this vertical, as we charge our banks a fixed amount per point per month. 68% of our revenues for the 9-month ended December 31 came from Tier 3 plus locations. This is a key growth driver for our second vertical, that is the network cash management, which accounted for 18% of our revenues in this period. Tier 3 plus locations have very limited branch presence. See, as against 61 bank branches per lakh population in urban areas, India has only 6 branches per lakh population in rural areas. So in such areas, our value-added product of network cash management helps our bank clients to offer this service to end customers even where they do not have a branch presence. As on December 31, 2022, we had 840 cash vans and a staff strength of 9,200, including 2,100 employees and 7,100 contractual workers. Of this, 21% are from armed forces, again a USP for Radiant, which has helped to keep our cash losses to the minimum. For the 9 month ended, for this 9 month period, our gross cash losses, that is before the insurance claim, was about 4 crores. Obviously, the impact on the P&L is much lower than that. We added about 13 clients in this 9 month period, all of whom are direct clients. This has helped increase the share of direct clients in our revenues to 2.4% in this 9 month period, as against 1.5% in FY22. We serviced 3,200 odd end customers in this period, which is up from 2,675 in FY22. All of these has helped generate a very healthy ROCE of 33.3% and a return on equity of 27.4% for this period on an annualized basis. More importantly, we generated free cash flow from operations after working capital changes of 42.5 crores in 9 month period ended December 31, as against 31.1 crores in FY22, representing a growth of over 35%. I now request Colonel to share his concluding remarks.
Well, quite a bit has been already said by both of us. And I would like to say that in the medium term, that's FY25, I do not foresee any challenge to the growth that we are currently predicting of 22 to 24% year on year. And that will be our endeavor. And I think we are on track as of now, particularly for the fourth quarter. With that, I would like to now open this communication for any questions from any of you. And it will be our endeavor to answer them. It's over to Sohail and you all.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 at this time. The first question is on the line of H.R. Sakani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the listing and a good set of numbers. So my first question is on, the pickup points, which is the crux of the business. So if you look at, the growth you've added in terms of, touch points, is there a difference in the revenues for Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 plus? Because there's been, healthy growth in Tier 1 and Tier 2 versus Tier 3 per se. So is there a revenue differentiation which is like skewed in favor of Tier 1, Tier 2?
Thanks, Prashant. Our contract is, our pricing is common across all the tiers. We enter into long-term contracts with banks. And the pricing is just purely based on the particular point's location. It is whether within city limits, beyond city limits, or far off locations. It could be in tier 1, tier 2, or tier 3. The pricing is the same.
Got it. So, sir, you mentioned in your opening remarks that in the rural places, the connectivity is much lower from an ATM perspective. But what is visible is that the number of touch point splits have gone up significantly in tier 1. So, it used to be in the 6,000 ranges, but that's moved to 10,000 now. So, could you explain what has caused the jump in the tier 1 cities for more points?
I can quickly just put a number to it and give you a specific answer. The answer is that organized retail is growing rapidly. There's also e-com, you know, e-com and e-com logistics growing pretty rapidly. And they are initially concentrating. It's not going to be for a long time. It's going to cascade into tier 3 and tier 4 locations. But as of now, the growth that we are initially registering is very, very concentrated in tier 1 and tier 2 locations, and that's the reason why you see these additional numbers.
Got it. And sir, is there a seasonality with the fourth quarter being, you know, from a seasonality perspective, the best quarter for us?
Usually, third and fourth quarter are the best quarters for us. So, you can see our last year, I think we had given our quarterly numbers as well. Q4 and Q3 revenues more or less matched last year.
Got it. And sir, could you call out that except for the new touch points that you keep adding, you mentioned the number of 1100 points per month, which you are expecting to continue, right? So, this is one lever of growth. Second, you had mentioned on call that you've added new direct clients. But do direct clients account for a better revenue than, you know, going through, you know, intermediaries like a bank?
No, our pricing is fairly standard across direct clients as well as for banks.
Okay, and so could you call out some of the other growth levers except for the addition in touch points?
Yeah. So, for the first segment, it is addition in touch points, which has a direct correlation, one-on-one correlation. Obviously, the volume of cash handled also has an impact. As I said, the pricing is dependent on two variables. What is the daily cash limit, not the daily cash handle, daily cash limit, and where is it located. So, these are the two variables based on which our pricing is determined. So, volume of cash handle, like I said, it is 1.17 trillion in this nine-month period. That represented about a 20% growth on an annualized basis over last year. So, the second lever could be for the first segment, that is the pickup and delivery, is also the volume of cash handle. Though the correlation is not strictly one-on-one, a stronger correlation will be based on the number of points. For the second segment, correlation will be based on three aspects. One is the share of foreign banks and private sector banks in our overall, foreign banks in particular, because the network cash management business, as I said, is more relevant where the banks don't have their own branch presence. Foreign banks have limited branch presence, so almost substantial portion of their revenues go through our account as well. So we get to charge the network cash management. So the share of foreign banks will be one of the levers. Second is the share of tier 3 plus revenues, because there the branch presence is low. And third, obviously, is the volume of cash, because that is priced volumetric, directly ad valorem pricing. The amount of cash that we deposit in our account is directly correlated there.
Got it. And so what is the percentage of revenues that is coming from foreign banks versus, you know, private and public?
We have given that in the analyst presentation that we uploaded. It's about 25%, slide 10.
25%. Got it, sir. Is there any other group lever that you feel that investors should know about?
Group?
Any growth levers?
Growth levers, I think this covers about 90% of our revenue. The cash processing, cash van operations are fairly standard ancillary revenues that we make. I think you've covered
cash van operations, you know, as you know, in the fresh issue, we are purchasing another 200 cash vans. with the consolidation that has happened in the industry, we are looking at new contracts. You know, the earlier contracts, thanks to the COVID, were being extended to players who did not have the RBI criteria, meet the RBI criteria. Now that that is behind us, I think new contracts that come up, we'll also be competing that, and that's one of the reasons we have gone in for 200 additional vehicles. I'm not putting a number to it, but it's, we're looking at it as another growth segment that we can have. New clients, you know, that we have, our direct clients that we are looking at, I think that's going to also substantially have an impact on our future revenue. This is the additional aspect that we are looking at.
Got it. And so the cash vans, you've placed the orders for them. When are they expected to, start being revenue accretive or generative?
Would you like to answer that?
When have we placed the order?
We have placed the order for about 40 vehicles. We already placed the order of the 200. 180, another about 160 vehicles, we are likely to place an order in the
next year,
coming financial year.
Okay, so it's going to be spread out over, next quarter to the next year, the revenues from these vans.
40 vehicles will be getting it before the end of this financial year. Another 160 to 180 vehicles in the next financial year.
All right, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Prashant Koti from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. And congrats for your listing, sir. So just a few bookkeeping questions in the first half and then probably a couple of other things. So firstly, if you just clarification, you said that the cash pickup and delivery was about 68% of the revenue, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
And network cash management was about 18%.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right. And did you mention what was the network cash management you did on an annual basis as of 9 months?
Can you repeat the question? No,
I'm saying, did you mention, because I couldn't see in the presentation, the amount of network cash managed? We have the cash movement annual number, but we didn't have the network cash managed number. If you could share that.
I'll just tell you, we...
Sure.
Well, come back to the about 40% of the total cash that is moved is under network cash management.
Yeah.
Do you have exact number?
41,147 crores.
Okay, that's roughly about 40% of the number.
Yeah.
35% of the number.
Slightly
less. Just on this point itself, sir. Typically, now when you speak about network currency management and all, you always mention that that's typically about 40% of the number. But if I look at this quarter has kind of come down. Just want to also understand, usually the third quarter, you said is a strong quarter because of festive season and all. However, if you look at the numbers, is it something which you would have probably expected it to be on a QOQ basis, this number, or we probably were expecting a higher number? Purely because if I look at the last two quarters, we've done about 85 to 88 odd crore number. But on a sequential basis, the jump doesn't seem to be high given that our third quarter and fourth quarter are usually good. Is there any spillover effect? Is there something like that?
No, not a spillover effect. There was a temporary setback in one particular sector. If you could see our sector-wise revenues also we have given. The petroleum sector, we did have some small headwind because we handle largely with the private sector petrol pumps, not the public sector ones. And there the pump price between private and public had slightly widened. Because of that, their own volumes had faced some challenge. We believe it's a temporary phenomenon and should come back to steady state quickly.
Okay. And can one quantify in terms of what was the impact of that or something of this sort? Or is there any quantification on that?
That will be conjecture, right? As in what could have been versus what is actual. As in you have the data on the what was the last year full year and the what is the current thing. That data I can update in the presentation and share.
But apart from that, you just spoke about the petrol pump side. But in general, if you look at it, the other parts of the business should have actually been growing faster. So is that on track when you talk about the organized retail part of the business and all? Because even X of that, the growth rates should have been higher. Because in terms of touch points, we've seen a good number growing up. That's the reason I'm checking on that.
Yeah, we are seeing robust growth in e-commerce, for e-commerce in e-commerce logistics, robust growth in organized retail, and decent growth in BFSI. These are the three largest segments.
Okay.
In that order.
Okay. Understood. So, just to that point itself, sir, when you say that that's like a temporary thing, you just spoke about the petrol pumping. Have you seen that kind of coming back on track? I mean, has it kind of been issue been resolved right now?
Yeah, I personally feel it's a temporary situation. I think it should get restored. I'm unable to put a timeline to it, but I think it should happen in the near future.
Understood. And on the question in terms of the tier one seeing a improvement in the number, typically. While you did say that the pricing is the same, but typically in terms of cash handling and all, the number will be much higher for tier one, right? And we've always seen higher number from a tier three perspective, and we've been suddenly seeing an increase in the tier two and tier one numbers actually. So I presume one should assume that that will actually start driving us leverage as well as the scale of tier one and tier two keeps rising. Is that a fair assumption to make in terms of our margins and all?
Actually, if you see our percentage of tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 points and revenue percentage, it will more or less match a percentage here and there. So that is reflective of our long-term pricing as well, long-term pricing that we have with the banks as well. There are multiple factors. Yes, the individual points will handle higher volumes. So to that extent, the per point volume could be slightly higher. But and the route density also typically tend to be higher in tier 1. But at the same time, the cost of operations tend to be slightly higher as well in tier 1. So in terms of the overall contribution to the bottom line as well, we don't see a difference, a sharp, stark difference in contribution from tier 1 versus tier 2 versus tier 3.
And the tier 1 increase that you all are observing and commenting upon is largely driven by the retail. Organized retail is growing very rapidly in our country, and we are seeing, as a consequence, we are seeing that the growth which is happening in that.
Understood. But otherwise, there is no such change in terms of the pricing and all. The pricing largely has been maintained as far as cash to common delivery is concerned, and even network cash management is concerned. The pricing as such is being largely maintained, right?
Pricing has been sustained and maintained like this, and there's no impact on pricing in any way.
Understood. Lastly, sir, from my end, in terms of our guidance, like you just highlighted that you should see, I presume that probably there will be some spillover effect going on to the next quarter, and typically the fourth quarter is the best quarter. What is the revenue and our margin guidance, if you could just throw some light on that part for the next year?
I'd like to remain conservative. I mean, I'm hopeful for better numbers, but at the same time, as the existing trajectory and track that we're currently maintaining, I think it will be sustained, and it will definitely continue into the fourth quarter, which you'll see in the next numbers. It will be uploaded sometime in May.
Understood. But the reason I'm asking this specifically, sir, is while you did touch upon the fact that you're seeing about close to 20, you can probably say about 20-25% kind of a growth number. This quarter obviously was slightly lower, and we presume you said about the petrol pump issue. But on an average, you should assume that this number should be growing at about 20-25%. That's a fair assumption to make, given the fact that we are adding almost about 12,000 to 14,000 touch points per annum.
Well, I would just like to look at this. Let's look at the PAT itself. PAT, you know, last year was 38 crores. Currently, we are at 47.2 crores. At the end of the third quarter, in 9 months itself, we achieved this. And, you know, 9 months on 9 months comparison, it's nearly a 73% growth. So it's a very strong indication by any standards, and we hope to sustain this.
Sure. And one last bit, sir, you have also seen, since you also touched upon the fact that you've seen a good amount of PAT number, it's also driven by a very strong EBITDA margin number. Are you saying that we are probably sustaining this number, or can we actually better this number going forward?
Currently, I like to say we like to sustain these numbers close to 26%. I think it's a good number to target, but we hope to improve upon it in the midterm.
What could be the lever for margin? Is it just leverage, or is there any other legs in terms of cost or something which we can probably cut off if our margin has to improve? Or is it just purely leverage, I presume?
Yeah, see, the operating leverage is clearly at play. You could see that in the third, in the 3 months.
Correct.
Where,
yeah, that's what I asked. Yeah.
19.4 is growth, whereas EBITDA growth was 42% and PAT growth was 53%. So the operating leverage is at play that will continue to this thing, that will continue to demonstrate not only in Q4, we are hoping that it will continue in the next year as well.
Understood. Sure. Thank you very much, sir. All the very best to you.
Thank you. Some wonderful questions. I'm sure it must have been beneficial for everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sharma from Aditya Birla AMC. Please go ahead. Aditya Sharma, your line is unmuted. Please unmute your line and proceed with the question.
Am I audible? Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. A few questions from my end. Sir, we were expecting somewhere around flattish growth in the employee cost, while in this quarter there has been the cost of employees has increased much ahead of even revenues. So can you just point out what has led to that?
See, there are two reasons for that. One is there has been an increase in the cash executives expenses during the second quarter and third quarter. We slight increase in that. We hired them considering that the volume will pick up in the third quarter. Second reason is we have given some increases to our existing staff during the second and third quarter. These two are the reasons for the slightly higher cost in employee cost. The second and third.
Can you please repeat the second argument? What is the reason?
See, first reason is the increase in the cash executives cost. Second is the annual increases to our own staff during the second and third quarter.
Annual increase in the?
For our staff.
For annual increment.
Increments.
Normally from first of
all. Okay, annual. Okay. Okay. And so according to you, the volume pickup wasn't as commensurate as expected, and you hired a higher number of executives than was required.
No, I would not put it like that. We are building in capacity because we are expecting a fairly robust growth in the current quarter as well.
Right. So, sir, just coming back on the growth front, as we would understand that tier 3, tier 2 in smaller towns, the marriage season and the festival season is quite big. And did you see the weakness in the demand which led to this, or our fixed pricing doesn't actually, there is actually no impact from the weakness in the rural demand? So how should one understand this situation?
See, our tier 3 revenues have continued to remain as a percentage. So overall, the like Colonel mentioned, only one place where we did experience some weakness was in the petroleum sector. E-commerce, organized retail has shown the highest growth, followed by e-commerce sector. BFSI growth has been steady, and petroleum was a little lower. In fact, there is no growth. There's a small degrowth.
Got it, sir. I'm just trying to understand, does a weak rural demand actually have an impact on your revenues?
No.
A hypothetical question, if I would say that.
No, because our share of rural revenues have continued to remain at 67%.
Okay.
So the company has overall has grown at 19.4%, and the share of the rural tier 3 revenues also have grown at the same pace.
Right. And also, we are showing higher growth in tier 1 cities in terms of outlets. So just wanted to understand two things. In terms of pricing, as you said, there are two levers. One is the amount of cash that is handled, and the second is the distance. So my understanding would be the distance traveled in these cities would be much lower than tier 3. And I would presume that the relation, the dependence on the distance would be more in terms of pricing compared to the amount of cash handled. So is this understanding correct?
No, Aditya.
Okay.
No, Aditya, our pricing is just purely based on the location. It is not based on the distance. Okay, individual points, 60,000 points, there is no way we sit and compute the distance from that point to the nearest bank branch or from our offices. It is not based on the kilometers traveled. None of our pricing is based on the number of kilometers traveled. It is just purely based on the slot, whether it is three categories, within city limits, beyond city limits, or far off locations.
And tier one locations, the employee cost is slightly on the higher side. That you will appreciate
right.
As compared to tier 3 and tier 4.
Right.
So these things, you know, the distance being less and therefore, you know, finally it all kind of balances out.
Okay. Got it. So you're saying in terms of the margins, it would be similar because it will be in the city limits, but the cost would also be higher.
Absolutely. That's right.
Also wanted to understand this part. So our network cash management is is a margin accretive business, and as we grow more and more in cities such as tier 1, I would presume that the share of this business would come down. So the margin expansion that we were envisaging before would take even longer. So is that understanding correct?
No, Aditya. This quarterly number, higher tier 1 is, we believe, is a one-off phenomenon because of strong growth in the organized sector, retail sector from one or two clients, specific clients.
Right.
Over a longer period of time, we expect that our share of revenues in tier 3 will continue to be over 65%. And that will continue to have a robust positive impact on the network cash management. We don't expect the share of it to reduce from where it is today.
Got it. So, sir, what has changed in terms of, because when we were analyzing the company, we were probably guiding for margins of closer to 30-odd%, and now we would like to sustain around 26%. So if the environment is nothing has changed materially in the environment, then why there is a change in this time?
No, like I said, that petroleum sector headwind had some impact on revenues. As you say, high operating leverage means it cuts both ways.
Right, sir. I'm not talking about this quarter. I was trying to understand more from the coming year, so FY24. So the margin expansion was clearly on the cards, but now it seems we're talking about sustaining these margins. So just wanted to understand this more clearly.
Well, Aditya, we have not given any kind of public guidance on this, and I would not like to comment specifically on anything. We can have independently a discussion, and it's always a pleasure to hear from you, Aditya. And I would just like to point out that currently, we have reached 47.2 crores of PAT at the end of 9 months, and we had done 38 crores of PAT last year, the full year. And this is a 9 month comparison, it's a nearly 73% growth. And we hope to sustain and build on this in the time ahead. Certain additional aspects are like we bought about 50 vehicles also during the last two quarters. So that again has had an impact. So I would like to leave it at that point, because at this public forum, I would like to not place any specific numbers in public guidance.
Okay, sir. Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aditya.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind the participant to limit their question to 2 to 3 questions per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suman Kavatra from TechFin Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yes, Suman.
Suman, please unmute your line and go ahead with the question.
Hello, is it fine?
Yes.
Hello?
Do you foresee
any pricing pressure due to competition, upcoming competition in this business, or do you think the prices will remain stable or will go up, number one? And number two, as your 9 to 9 months, you've got 73% growth. Can we assume that this continues and we may reach a PAT of about 100 crores next year?
With regards to the competition, I like to say that, first of all, you need to have a network.
Mm-hmm.
We have built over the last 17 and a half years. It's a very positive, very strong network based on an ex-service culture and DNA.
To truly
compete with us, for another person to come in with this kind of a network immediately would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we don't see any kind of strong competitive pressure in this in retail cash management.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with regards to the kind of growth that we have registered, I wouldn't like to be that optimistic, but I'd like to say that we can, in the midterm, we are looking at a revenue growth of 22 to 24%. And the frugality with which we conduct our operations, I think our EBITDA and PAT will also be, on a positive note. And we look forward to sustain that. But I wouldn't like to put any definitive numbers for the future. We are on track, and I think the fourth quarter is also looking very positive for us.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I hope I am audible.
Please use the handset. Your voice is not very clear.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mukul.
Yeah,
please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kanna, good morning. Just wanted to follow up on a couple of earlier questions. If we look at the near term, Q3, there were obviously noise which we are hearing on slowing impact in the retail space and macro demand. And just wanted to kind of check on that. Are you seeing any impact, on account of the weaker macroeconomic environment on the retail cash management business? If it is the case, then excluding the petroleum issue, how are we kind of tackling the macro effect?
Every metric that we are looking at is fairly healthy, Google. As I said, the cash handled is the real barometer for that. If you are looking at this as a surrogate for the rest of the sectors, that is 1.17 trillion is a 20% growth over last year, annualized basis. So, and we expect that, as in a sense, if the petroleum issue were not there, we would have cross that 20% also to reach probably 23-24%. So e-commerce has shown fairly robust growth. Organized retail has shown exceedingly healthy growth for us. BFSI has been fairly stable, as in steady state growth. So I'm not seeing any such macro indicators reflecting in our business volumes that we handle, and so are our revenues and costs.
Right. So Muthu, if you can, you know, instead of the 9-month number, is it possible to share the Q3 YOY growth in terms of the cash movements which we have handled, and generally compared to Q2 also, because you know this is obviously seasonally stronger quarter with weddings and multiple festivals which usually take place. The quarterly increase in revenue growth also has been in line with past trends.
I don't have that number ready. We can update the KPI on a quarterly basis and upload it in the website and share to the investors.
Mukund, last year we moved 1,30,000 crores. In the year 22, that's what we moved. Now in the first 9 months, we already moved 1,18,000 crores. We are, I think, likely to touch about 1,60,000 crores by the end of the year. That's the volume of cash that we've been moving, and it's moving on expected lines.
Sure, Karnal. And also, you know, second part on the employee cost, you know, increase which we have seen this quarter. How should we think about the directionality or the correlation of employee cost increase versus the revenue over the medium term, you know, beyond the very, very near term, you know, assuming that we have obviously added both senior as well as on the ground team this quarter, which, you know, might have had some impact on cost. Will we now, you know, kind of utilize them, ergo the impact on employee cost will be relatively, you know, kind of behind the top line growth over next maybe 1 year, or will it continue to move in tandem?
We will be able to maintain the same. We will be able to maintain the same growth what we have achieved in the last 9 months.
Employee cost.
For the fourth quarter, it will be the same, almost the same level as what we had for Q3. And going forward, when the volume picks up, it should. There's a chance it should marginally come down when the volume picks up.
Sure, that's helpful. I'll get back into the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhiral from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So what are the typical risks to the network cash management as well as the cash pickup and delivery system that we can see right now?
You got the question.
Risks. What are the risks that you see?
Risk is essentially cash in transit loss risk, which is there. And cash in transit loss, you know, because of the fact that we are, you know, we deal with public money with a lot, great deal of responsibility. And the fact that nearly 21% of the workforce is ex-service, you know, there's a great deal of integrity, responsibility and discipline with which we handle this public money. And one of the reasons we have the best cash in transit loss history in the industry.
So is the faster adoption of...
We have a DGP who is in charge of the whole organization, and nearly 130 employees who are former junior commissioned officers, former police inspectors who are there. And we don't wait for an incident. We are constantly in touch with the SPs of the district so that in case of any eventuality, there is an immediate response from the police and we are able to deal with it appropriately. That's the reason. That's the only risk that we foresee in the future.
And sir, is the faster adoption of UPI is a risk to our business?
No, UPI, you know, this is something that I've been answering across the board. And when I talk about it in the RBI, they're quite surprised that such a question is being raised. You see, in a country of our nature, a growing economy, there was only one option, that was to transact in cash, till very recently. Now, all the measures that the current government is currently taking in terms of digitization and UPI, or even digital currency that they're planning to introduce, all these are very welcome measures in a growing economy which aspires to one day be a fully developed economy. And the body public must have options for transaction. So currently, at the same time, government is not, is also seized with the fact that 14% of the GDP is cash as of now. And cash in circulation, which was, about 13.6 lakh crores in 2016, has today grown to 31.5 lakh crores, gone to 41.5 lakh crores by 2025. And it's also an indicator, if you look at our business, now in 9 months itself, we have moved 1,18,000 crores. And we are likely to hit 1,60,000 crores as compared to 1,30,000 crores last year. So these are all parallel tracks. In any strong economy, you must have the options to digitally transact. You must also, and cash is also there. And in our country, cash is... cash transactions are very popular and they are continuing in the manner that they always have been.
So what percentage of sales in the organized retail segment is by cash payment?
Can you repeat your question?
We won't have some accounting data on that. Even the FY20 process relevant data said that out of the total transactions, digital transactions, non-cash transactions are 11% in India. Out of the total transaction in FY20. We don't have an updated...
So 89% is directly linked to the cash payment?
No. I'll tell you some other metrics. See, organized retail accounts for only 18% of our own revenues. Our largest segments will be BFSI and second largest is e-com and e-com logistics. And in e-com and e-com logistics, even in tier 1 locations, 50% of the transactions are cash on delivery. And that goes up to 90% in tier 4 locations. So that's a key driver. In BFSI, as in a sense, insurance payments, insurance premium payments are made in cash. Microfinance loan disbursements, collections are in cash. Even for other NBFCs, gold loans, payments and repayments are in cash. So BFSI has been a large driver of our revenue, followed by e-commerce logistics. These two we have metric. In organized retail specifically, we don't have how much of the actual retail transaction happens in cash versus UPI versus credit card.
Okay. And so what will be the CAPEX for the FY23 and FY24 as we are looking to, add more vehicles?
CAPEX will be about 25 crores. Next year will be 20 crores. For the financial year 23-24, the CAPEX will be 20 crores.
And so for this year, FY23?
FY23 should be in the range of 8 to 9 crores.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Asim Bhatte from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So firstly, on the 22-24% revenue growth expectations that you're talking about, touchpoint addition would be what, 11-12%?
It'll be higher than that. We are not expecting a significant any pricing revision or anything like that. As in, for the 70% of our revenues, it will be a one-on-one correlation.
If not 11-12%, how high would the touchpoint growth addition be as per your internal expectation? Would it be closer to the 20% mark?
Yeah, it will be high teens. I would expect the point growth will be high teens.
High teens. Okay. So, and the other question was basically for the RCM industry as a whole and for your own clients, how many are already paying the RBI compliant prices and how much is still left in terms of pricing growth catch up?
Yeah, that's a good question. Currently now, you know, the RBI is in close touch with the Cash Logistics Association, and in conjunction with them, 50 cities, towns and cities, now we have moved into the RBI pricing as of now. And the next rollout, you know, after a lot of discussion is going to happen in another 67 cities have been identified where the RBI pricing will kick in. And that we are hoping to see from about April onwards, that happening. Now, having said that, structured companies like us, had, you know, knowing that for the safety of the cash, it was good to go into the kind of RBI measures that had been recommended. I'd like to say that even as we speak, about 82 to 85% of our cash is moved as per RBI norms. So when this additional pricing comes in, it is likely to have a positive impact on our overall revenue as well as onto our profitability.
So for you guys, 80 to 85% is already paying the compliant prices. Is that what you meant?
No, we have done it because of the safety measures. You know, for safety of movement of cash, we are following the RBI norms.
Okay.
But another, for the 50 cities, yes, we are already getting the RBI pricing.
Okay, so yeah, that was going to be my second clarification. When you say that it's RBI is going to roll it out, that means from day one, the pricing adjusts to the new compliance norms, is it? Or do they get some time to catch up on that?
That's right.
The clients.
Firstly, this has to, it is a very structured thing, and all the banks parallelly at the same time have to offer the RBI pricing so that there is no unfair advantage to one bank which is not paying RBI pricing while the rest of them have fallen in line. So it is also coordinated with the IBA and carried out in a structured manner, the Indian Banking Association.
Okay, got it. And the second question was basically the direct clients that you're working with. You said the pricing you get is similar versus that through banking clients. I just wanted to understand what is the value proposition for them to work with you. Is it mainly because these are from smaller markets where bank branch presence may not be that much, so it makes sense for to work with you, or is there something else over here?
Okay, Muthu.
Yeah, our target is mostly clients of public sector banks except SBA who don't even have the option of availing a service of this nature.
Okay, so then it won't be restricted to smaller markets basically.
No, it will be across all the markets, but all PSU banks except SBA don't even offer retail cash management or doorstep banking as a service to their customers. So
okay, even SBA doesn't do it.
Except SBI, is it?
Okay, except SBI.
Except SBI don't even offer this as a service to their end customers.
Just to understand, who would these direct...
They're empaneled with all of them. They have signed a contract. But the level of, you know, current deployment of utilization of our service is very minuscule. It's very, very small, and it's, you know, compared to the way SBI today is one of our largest clients. Compared to that, the other nationalized banks have still not fallen in line. So all the customers whom they are servicing, they are all in need of the service, and those are the ones that we are looking at as direct clients in the future.
Just wanted to understand, who would these direct clients be who work with PSU banks but don't have an account with an SBI or an HDFC, especially in larger markets?
No, can you repeat the question, please?
No, I just wanted to understand, I mean, the clients who are in larger markets would ideally be banking with a private sector bank or maybe an SBI, yet there are clients apparently who are working with PSU banks where RCM is not really offered as a service. So what kind of clients are these? Are they more small mom-and-pop stores? I just wanted to understand the client profile here.
Public sector banks, except SBI, account for 60% of the banking sector. So how can you say that? As in they, every this thing, it could be the local retail stores, local chain of retail stores. It could be pharmacy chains. It could be gold jewelers. It could be hundreds and thousands of petrol pumps. They typically bank with the nearest bank that is available. As in, may not be necessarily a foreign bank or a SBI or a private sector bank.
State Bank.
Punjab National Bank, Bank of Baroda, Bank of India, all of them are, as in this is, they bank hundreds and thousands of outlets, but don't offer doorstep banking. They expect the client to come and deposit at their bank branch.
State government, you know, organizations which are there, we lick outlets, and we electricity boards, and we milk outlets. All of them are now currently banking with various public sector banks, peculiar to that particular state. So,
okay.
It's a very large market that we have to tap into right now.
Okay, got it, got it. Thanks, I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Mehta as an investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity. I think excellent set of numbers, very good results in a tough market. I specifically wanted to understand the direct-to-retail strategy further. And today you mentioned it's relatively small, but what percentage of the currency and the NCM volume we do will be retail now, today versus, let's say, last year in percentage terms?
In revenue terms, it is 2.5%. I would expect a similar number of 2.5% of our total volume that we handle there.
Okay, okay. Got it. And just to follow up here,
there is no concept of NCM.
Okay.
It's only the cash pickup and delivery charge.
Okay, okay. And going forward, this is where do you expect this D2 retail to go in terms of volume and revenues, let's say FY24?
We lost you in between. Can you just repeat the question, please?
Yeah. So in FY24, what do you foresee as volume from direct to retail and revenues also?
So, Dhaval, can I request you to repeat your questions, please? Your order.
Yes. So,
I think I got the question. What is the share of volume of cash from direct clients in
FY24?
I don't think we have a definitive answer to that at this point of time. It will definitely be higher, as in the indication is that it was 1.6% of revenue in FY22 and 2.5% in 9 months FY23. We expect this trend to continue.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time constraint. That would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sohil Halai from Antique for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. Sir, Colonel sir and team, thanks for the opportunity given to us to host the call. And congratulations on the quarter and best of luck for future quarters. Before we close, Colonel sir, would you like to give any closing remarks?
I'd like to say that we have today faced a set of very, very good and interesting questions. Many of them have set us thinking, and it will also have an impact on the way that we plan out the coming quarter and also the company's future in the midterm. I would like to thank you all for having given us this time and all these wonderful questions to us, and I hope that we could satisfy you with our answers. I'd like to say it's been a very satisfying moment posting the third quarter numbers on the 28th, and the fact that we have also announced 100% small interim dividend based on our existing cash flows and as a cash positive company. So we look forward to to remain attractive to our investors and shareholders in the time ahead. I'd also like to thank Antique for having taken the effort, for having hosted this so well this morning, especially Sohail Halal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.